You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other
side. Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Kirk Bankstead along with Pat Kreitlow and Kristen Lyerly.
And we're going to get back to the fake elector situation in Wisconsin and other states like Arizona and Georgia, because it's become really clear that this was no spontaneous gathering of Trump supporters who just wanted to cover their bases. This was clearly planned out ahead of time. That's what the January 6th hearings are telling us. And some smart Wisconsin attorneys have been in on it from the beginning.
We have two of those smart attorneys, Joe's Good and Mark Leitner, with us. But next year, I want to bring in Mel Barnes of Law Forward. I spoke with her this afternoon and asked her to remind us how we got here, what's been happening, and really, most importantly, why it's so crucial that we don't let this thing slide, or we're going to have fake electors and, frankly, even more potentially, you know, violent attempts at overthrowing the will of the people. So let's listen into my conversation earlier with Mel Barnes. Mel, thanks for joining us this evening. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you take us back to when you and the folks at Law Forward first heard about this, said, this doesn't sound right, then made the decision that something needed to be filed, there needed to be some kind of, you know, hearing or justice or consequences for this? Take us from that very early stage of all of this.
Absolutely. So we are now well over a year into this journey where we've been seeking accountability for these 10 folks who gathered in the state capitol and pretended to be the state's duly authorized electors. They pretended to cast our state's electoral college votes for a candidate that lost the election here. And we at Law Forward, we started looking into this. We probably saw some of the same news reports you did. We started looking to it in January of 2021, kind of after some of the dust had settled on the mountain of post-election litigation that was already going on. And what we realized is not only did these 10 individuals that we call the fraudulent electors, not only did they meet and convene, even though they had no legal duty or no legal right to do this, they actually sent off fake votes and documents to Congress and other government officials as if they were the real Electoral College votes of Wisconsin. And as we've been investigating this, we've uncovered more and more details. One of the fraudulent electors actually put out his own podcast kind of talking about what they did that day, and, you know, detailing kind of their mood and what they were thinking. And we knew, you know, right from the jump that we needed to make sure this didn't happen again in Wisconsin, because right, we're a swing state. We're going to continue to have these close elections, and we just can't have a situation where every time the losing side, you know, is mad that they didn't win, they then try to substitute their own political preference for the will of Wisconsin voters. That's not how our democracy is supposed to work, right? Voters get to decide in Wisconsin and in America. So we knew we needed accountability, and we started with filing a complaint on behalf of our clients, the SEIU, to the Wisconsin Elections Commission that oversees a couple of the laws that we thought these folks had violated. We also reached out to law enforcement, to attorneys across the state. So we started with the attorney in Milwaukee, thinking, hey, this is something that should be looked into, potentially prosecuted. That's, you know, a DA's job, right? We don't have authority to enforce criminal laws. Also notifying the Wisconsin Department of Justice, because this is something that happened, you know, these people are from around the state, as well as the Dane County District Attorney, because these individuals met in Madison. And we've been pushing for accountability with all these folks kind of since then. But what we realized in, a couple of months ago this year, is that we really needed to make sure that this didn't happen again. And that one of the tools that we could use to do that was to bring a civil lawsuit. So in May, we filed a civil suit against these 10 fraudulent electors, as well as two of the lawyers who assisted them in the planning and execution of this, on behalf of two of the legitimate electors from Wisconsin, as well as a voter, because we know that the legitimate electors weren't the only ones harmed here, right? We were all harmed as Wisconsin voters when these fraudulent electors tried to override our will at the ballot box.
There in your description is something that is especially noteworthy. This is new ground in many ways. It is so undemocratic with a small d to try to essentially overturn an election in the way that they did, even if it wasn't completely apparent at the time just how deep a plot this was. But like I said, it's new stuff. So you went to the Milwaukee County District Attorney, the Dane County District Attorney. You also went to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, as well as the State Department of Justice, the State Attorney General. And in the case of the, you know, the State Elections Commission, even though it's made up of three Republicans and three Democrats, including one of the fake electors, one of the Republican members, the decision was made, you know, not to, again, to penalize or to have consequences in this instance, because it didn't appear to the State Elections Commission that any, you know, state laws that they oversee had been broken. But it leads me to this. What I've been saying since the January 6th committee started meeting and really peeling back this onion is we and the Elections Commission and a lot of other people took these fake electors in Wisconsin at their word when they said this is a just in case situation, when it's not just in case. It's that Trump was actually making the case to have these other elector slates submitted to DC. So it's not a just in case thing. Does that mean that the Elections Commission, the Department of Justice, the two district attorneys, I don't want to say wrong, but I mean, they just did not appreciate the depths of how organized this was, it appears.
So I think that that's a huge part of it. We're learning so much more as the January 6th committee hearings unfold, as other investigations here in Wisconsin around the country really do take a harder look at this. And you know, when it comes to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, we do think that they got it wrong. And part of the reason is because the fraudulent elector, Robert Spindell, who is on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, participated in voting on this. And no one can be a fair judge and jury of a complaint against them, right? So we're back in court trying to address that there. As for these other investigations, you know, whether it's DAs or AGs or federal investigations, I do think that many of these investigations are likely ongoing. And I understand that, you know, DOJ isn't going to come out and tell us what they're doing, what they're up to as they develop a case, right? But I think if we just look at everything that came out at the January 6th committee hearings, even just the hearing yesterday, there was new information there, right, that we didn't know previously. So I think there's still a lot to do in putting together this case. And we expect to learn more as our lawsuit advances, right, as we're allowed to take discovery and move through the legal process. But what we know right now is there really is a there. This was not 10 random individuals who just, you know, decided, hey, we're going to cast fake votes for a candidate that lost. These were people who were involved in government, are involved in politics in our state. And, you know, we saw legal memos laying out their plan. And what we heard yesterday is there was a plan on the other end to count these votes, even though that was against the will of voters in Wisconsin. And that's something we can't lose sight of.
I was struck by how much, you know, we are learning from the January 6th committee in this way. I figured, you know, yes, there's this congressional committee, but it may be more for show. It may be trailing and the U.S. Department of Justice may be leading. It became clear to me pretty early on, it was actually the congressional committee that was leading. I mean, as far as we know, because again, the U.S. Department of Justice is being extremely tight-lipped about this, but the fact that they have not brought anything forward, you know, and they've actually requested transcripts from the committee tells me it is the congressional committee that seems to be leading this, seems to be finding new things before the folks at DOJ. It's probably six of one, half dozen of the other, but I'm curious, as somebody who studies this, is that your observation and was it your expectation?
You know, it's hard to say because this really is something that we've never seen before. For all the parallels that folks want to draw to, you know, Watergate or other things, this is really just mind-boggling. I don't think we've ever seen an attack like this on our democracy before. And I'm really glad that the January 6th committee is out there, you know, whether they're leading, whether they're finding the same information as other investigators, they're piecing it together and they're doing it publicly, which is really important because the American people deserve to know. They deserve to know about this criminal conspiracy to overturn their votes and undermine our democracy. So to me, that's the really important part, is that we have this public vehicle for accountability and this public public vehicle for just learning the truth. Because like I said, Americans deserve to know.
Yeah, and that's where I want to wrap this up, is with the question of accountability and trying to think of, you know, folks on who are more on the Republican side of the aisle saying, you know, look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. They took a shot just in case the courts overthrew it. What do you want for accountability? You want to take these 10 electors and put them behind bars? I mean, we know about it. It'll never happen again. Let it go. Or of course, you got people saying, no, a slap on the wrist is not going to get it done. So from Law Forward's perspective, what exactly is the best measure of accountability? What's the best case scenario for the case that you're bringing?
The best case scenario is a very clear determination by the court that this violated the law, violated our state law here in Wisconsin, and that it can never happen again. When it comes to dealing with these 10 individuals, you know, I think it is important that there is accountability through consequences, whether that's in a civil manner, like an R lawsuit, or a criminal investigation. But we need to make sure that the next presidential election, when that comes around, anyone who's asked to participate in this, because we know that these folks were asked to participate in this, says, no way, I'm not doing that. I know that it breaks the law. I know that it will disrupt my life if I try to participate in a scheme to overthrow the will of the people. So that accountability, whatever form it takes, is what we're after in Law Forward's lawsuit. And you know, that deterrence, making sure it never happens again. I think that's what the January 6th hearings are about too. I don't think that this is backward looking. I don't think that this is rehashing the 2020 election, which, you know, we all might be a little sick of talking about. I think it's about our future and the future of our democracy and making sure that our government continues to function and express the will of voters.
Mel, any topics or areas about this that I didn't get to with my questions that you want to make sure we covered?
You know, I think that it's really important that while the January 6th hearings, the DOJ investigation, our lawsuit, some of these might be a long road, right? The legal system is
okay.
Moving super quickly for better. For
just as we round out that clip, I just wanted to, before we go to commercial, I wanted to ask one question of Mark and Joe. I don't know how much time we have left, but guys, why didn't Josh Call, our attorney general, or the DA in Milwaukee, or the DA in Dane County, why didn't they take this up? Do you have any thoughts? Because it seems like that's one of the things that's missing in this. Like, why didn't they take this up? And why is Law Forward having to sue for civil damages of like lots of money to make sure these people don't do this anymore?
I wish I had a good explanation for it. I can't think of anything that would justify it, because as they have identified, the laws, criminal laws that were broken, false swearing, perjury, you know, that kind of, it's absolutely certain that these people knew they did not have a right. They didn't have any reservations in the documents they signed. They were false documents expressly intended to be used to try to interfere with or overturn a federal election result, you know. And sometimes you got to do the right thing, regardless of any fear you may have. In fact, that's what courage is having fear and proceeding anyway. And to the extent that you know, that our law enforcement arms in the AG's office and in the DA's offices did not do that, I condemn that. I mean, they should have gone ahead with prosecution.
I think that, I mean, right, we don't know, right? I mean, Mel pointed this out in her interview with Pat. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. For all we know, Merrick Garland's been on this, you know, for the last year and a half. dealing with what he's been dealing with. And he is a guy who's notorious, frankly, for not showing his cards. Why didn't Kyle do something? You know, it sounds like politics to me. Okay. It's a guy who's got to get elected by a state. And I think this is one of the problems in Mark's point about courage. You know, when Nixon, when the Supreme Court decided that the tapes had to be produced, Goldwater went to the White House the next day with a bunch of Republican senators. And Nixon was like, ah, this is a bunch of garbage, blah, blah, blah. You know, certainly, you know, I'm not going to get convicted in the Senate, even if the House impeaches me. And he, how many votes do I got, Barry? And he said, 8 or 9. And Mr. President, I'm not one of them. Barry Goldwater.
Mr. Okay? Republican, the 1964 candidate of the party.
But guys, you're missing. I think we're all missing the point here. And I know we want to get back to the Elections Commission and Josh Call and everything.
Yeah.
Something very important happened after the last meeting. And that was that the Justice Department said, we'd like the transcripts. Because again, as I said in the interview, they're leading. They're the ones who are actually finding these nuggets. Nobody went to Nixon and said it's time until they had the tapes.
Right.
Josh Call couldn't do anything until he has the data. There's nothing that says Call or anybody else can't take what we're learning now and say, now that I have that information. They didn't have that investigatory power before. But
especially now.
They do now. And so this is far from done, which is what Mel was going to say before we got cut off, is this takes a while, but justice does come through. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up next. You're up north.